Welcome to Church Media HQ. My name is Luke Clayton, and I'm glad you've joined us for today's episode. Now, this episode is actually brought to you by Church Media HQ Premium. There's a lot of church leaders out there that are really overwhelmed with the idea that they can't afford to hire a full-time graphic designer or even a part-time creative professional of any kind. And we understand the struggle, but I want to assure you that this is actually a hire you very likely never need to make. And how that's possible is through our service, Church Media HQ Premium. We offer you the most affordable full-service creative solution for your church. What do we mean by full service? That means that we are working for you. We're not just giving you access to, you know, some type of library of content or something like that. We're actually working for you. So you let us know what you need in terms of a design, a web page, even a video, and we get to work for you. You send us the requirements, we take it from there. And we also help you in the area of coaching. A lot of times you can really get stuck on just knowing what to do next, or you just feel super overwhelmed. You need a plan, you need a strategy, or maybe you just need someone to bounce ideas off of. With Church Media HQ Premium, you get unlimited access to priority coaching, where someone from our team or even myself meets with you as often as you need it, a one-to-one session to talk about your church's specific goals, needs, and struggles in the areas of your creative department. And again, this is just another benefit of Church Media HQ Premium. Now, that is just a couple things. There's really a lot more to it. Things like web hosting and support, free shipping on print orders, and really a bunch more benefits to come that we're just going to add as part of the membership. So you can sign up for Church Media HQ Premium. I don't want you to just take my word for it. I want you to actually realize that this is for you. So you could start for free at churchmediahq.com/premium, where you can start your free 30-day trial, no cost, no risk to you. And I really look forward to serving your church, helping your church in its creative department. My team and I really look forward to serving you in that way. And again, you can get started completely free, no cost to you. churchmediahq.com/premium. Sign up for your free 30-day trial, and I look forward to working with you soon. Now, today's episode features a good friend of mine. His name is Matt Turner, and he serves as a web media technology director at a church in Pennsylvania, a very large church in Pennsylvania, I might add. And he has a lot of experience in the media and tech side, and so he's got a lot of great insight, and I think you're going to learn a lot from him in today's episode. So let's get right to the conversation with Matt Turner. So why don't you officially introduce yourself to everyone out there?
Yeah. So my name is Matt Turner. I graduated college. Oh my word. It's so long ago now, 11 years ago.
You're old.
Now, I think.
Yeah.
I am old. I have been in full-time ministry for 10 years now. And all of that has been in media ministry of some sort. A majority of that time was network administrating. But even while I was doing that, I was running websites and doing media and graphic design. Through really for about the past 15 years, I've been doing graphic design and video editing. And then I've been working with computers for, I started when I was a teenager building computers for people and doing computer support for friends and family. So I've been doing computer work for like 20 years now.
Yeah. And, that's how we got to know each other. Hired at my home church. And while I was actually in college, so for the record, you are truly old because you're older than me, and everybody knows that older than me is old.
I know. But the secret is once you hit 30, you stop aging. So that's the good news. I'm not going to get any older.
Well, I'm almost there. So that's good to know. So that's how we got to know each other. And you got hired as the IT/media director at that church. And after graduate college, we actually did officially like work together in the same department for 3 years or something like that.
I think I was there for 5 years. Did you graduate the year right after I came?
I graduated in 2012, and then I got hired in the fall of 2012. So,
So it was 3 years then. It was 3 years.
Yeah. So, and then, we worked together on like everything from help desk to film production to audiovisual. Seriously, a lot of what I learned from you. So,
thank you.
You're a mentor.
I'm glad I could invest.
Yeah, no, but seriously, I did. And a lot of, I think the most fun thing though, by far, that we did was film production.
Oh my goodness gracious.
And we still reminisce on the days. We're like, oh man, we wish we could just do that again. Mm-hmm. You know?
If there's any point in my career that I could go back and redo, it would be making those kids videos. They were a blast. I don't foresee myself doing anything even close to that anytime soon. So yeah, it's definitely something that's great to reminisce back on.
Yeah. Yeah. We had a lot of fun. We produced a lot of different things, but the main thing, was one of the things we started, actually, we really kind of made it a big deal was, you know, a lot of VBS programs, they do like this cheesy little live skit. And we were like, that's lame. So we just did it. We started doing videos and they were pretty epic, not going to lie. And I've been able to continue doing some even after Matt has moved on. It's fun, and we had a lot of fun working together. So maybe one of these days we will we'll relive the dream.
I have always wanted to do a video that's that's more on the serious side, like an actual legitimate production, not just mm-hmm. something where we're goofing around, trying to make something epic that we're definitely just messing around in for kids, I want to do something that that's truly impactful. I've always wanted to, so. I still have that inside me wanting to do that, but I don't know when that's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing about being a filmmaker or a creative in general. Like there's so much you want to do and there's so many, think about all the storylines and scripts that we started on or talked about that never happened, That's just how it goes. And so, hey, but you never know, man, maybe one day. Like I said, we've got a lot that we could talk about, but I did want to say this. First of all, for anybody who may happen to be joining us live, and I didn't announce this or anything I didn't make a big deal of it. So anybody who's joining us live, or if you're just listening to the watching the pre-recorded or the recorded version, you may be wondering what this is. This is Church Media HQ. It is a podcast/ YouTube show that we do every week. And now in 2021, when probably most of you will be watching or listening to this in 2021, we have started doing these conversations live every week. So from every Thursday from 1 to 3 o'clock Central Time, where you have a live conversation that you can watch live, but we also put the Zoom link out there so that you can jump on and participate. So if you've got thoughts or questions or whatever, so head over to it's churchmediahq.com/live to figure out all the ways that you can connect with us there. And we'd love to have you join the conversation and talk to you later. But as we move into some of the things we wrote down, like I said, we didn't write down much, but I don't think we're going to have any short. The other thing we have in common, we're both Apple nerds. We love our Apple stuff, and it's been a big fall for Apple, like a ton of stuff.
It has been.
And I've actually done a couple small little reviews on it as bonus episodes on the podcast in the fall of 2020. But I could not let this opportunity, this conversation go by without us having just a nerd out moment about all things Apple. First of all, let's just go with, what is the state of your Apple devices? As far as phones, tablets, or iPads,
computers. So that's super mixed for me right now. So I'm most likely going to get a new iPad soon because COVID has just changed everything about how we do media at our church. Mm-hmm. Everything has changed completely. One of those big changes was we no longer worship in our auditorium because we can't properly social distance in there. We run at about 85% capacity in the room on Sundays. So it's just not a safe space to be right now for worship. And it doesn't meet CDC guidelines for worship. So our gymnasium is significantly larger. Going by square footage calculations, it's literally, it can handle double the seating capacity.
Oh, wow.
So you cut that down, you know, in one third then and spread it all out, you can really get some good social distancing in there. So the avoid, need to do, like, I know a lot of churches have gotten creative with like tickets and stuff like that to come. And, you know, like, so, you know, if your last name begins in this letter, you come on this Sunday, you know, like there's all these creative things everyone's done. For us, it's just been simple. It's like, just come normal times, come when you please, because we got plenty of room. You know, that's just what worked for us. So, and plus, we're entering a building program anyways here soon. And we were going to do this anyway. So it's like, well, yeah, we're, you know, 8 months ahead of schedule of when we'd move up there. Why not? So we got a new sound system and stuff up there, and it's, you know, I don't know if we want to get into it today at some point, but long story short, there was no real way of having a full-fledged physical soundboard that we can put out and deploy every week. It was going to be way too complicated, so we do it all from iPads. So, and short-sighted me, I didn't think I would need an iPad for the primary audio engineer and for the secondary audio engineer, live stream audio, I guess I should say it that way. If you're not familiar with the terminologies. So I donated my iPad. Let's see. It was an iPad Pro, the Gen 2. So it still has like the bezel frame on it.
Still has a home button?
Yes. Still has a home button. That's a good way of putting it. Yes. Still has a home button. But it's the second generation. It's the better of those original iPad Pros. And it was a 13-inch one too. So I don't know how you feel about it. But now that I've had a large tablet device, I did not like it. Like, I loved it at first. At first, I was like, I got the keyboard case where I'm like, oh, I'm going to replace my laptop with this. And then it dawned on me, like, I'm a power user. Like, there is no, even for basic tasks, like, if I want to sit down at a computer and use it, yeah, I need a computer on my lap.
So this was the 13-inch then?
The Gen 2 though, so it's this here. Actually, this is what I'm currently using. This is a dinosaur. So this is my current iPad. This is an Air 2.
Oh yeah, I just upgraded from an Air 2, so I'm very familiar with that.
I'll be honest, of any device Apple's ever made, this is the best device they ever made, hands down.
Yeah, as far as longevity goes, I agree.
Full battery life. Full battery life. Mm-hmm. When did these come out? Like
2014 or 15. It's been a while.
Definitely when I was still living in Nashville area. So
yeah.
I'd say 13. Yeah, 14 sounds about right.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was using just until a few months ago. So, and it's lasted
Christmas of 15. I was no longer in Nashville area, so it had to be 13 or 14. So
okay.
I mean, that's how old this thing is, and this is like my primary. This is my primary tablet device still.
Yeah.
This guy. So still works on the latest version of iOS. Like, so anyways, long story short, I ended up, since I didn't get two tablets, I just needed to do something last minute. So I donated my Pro for the primary guy, so they have a bigger surface to touch and stuff. I'll get into that, my feelings on this in a second about the sizes. We'll get there. So I think I'm going to get an iPad Air though. So, cause I'm definitely in the market for a new one now.
Yep.
So
yep.
What's your thoughts on that? Like Pro versus Air, like how do you feel about it?
Okay. So this has been a super cycle upgrade year for me. My daughter was born like 3 years ago, or she's three and a half now. And so, you know, I kind of entered into like super saver mode. I was like, okay, you got a kid now, you got whatever. And so, you know, I resisted. Like that was the first year, she was born 2017. That was the first year I did not upgrade my iPhone like to the newest one. Like up till that, I had upgraded every year. So I hadn't bought a new, and I'd bought a new MacBook right before she was born. So I hadn't upgraded anything since, you know, in three, that's how I kind of milestone it in my head. Since she was born. So 3.5 years. So I went on a kind of super cycle upgrade this year, and actually every device got an upgrade. So I got the new iPad Air, and I think it is the perfect iPad. That's just been my opinion so far. Because I love the idea of that size, the 11-inch Pro, And then they said, well, here's the Air, and it's a little bit cheaper, but it does basically everything that the Pro does. Right. I don't understand, because they just refreshed the Pros back in March or something. But there's actually a better chip in the Air than there is in the Pro. So I don't understand what they were thinking there. But yeah, I'm a huge fan of the iPad Air. I mean, the biggest, obviously they've got to release a Pro next year that has the same chip, if not a slightly better chip than the Air. Okay. But, if you are, but like you said, I'm a power user, so I'm not going to use my iPad Pro for something, you know, crazy high capacity or whatever. So I think you'll love the Air. I highly recommend it. I've loved it so far. I didn't get the expensive Magic keyboard for it, because that's a $200-$300 keyboard. But right. I did get the old Smart Folio keyboard for it.
Right.
And I do like right. that. And I love this about iPad OS. Is that it? I don't know if it's every device, but many of the devices, the latest iPad Air being one of them, you can use it with a mouse or trackpad.
Right.
And so I've connected a Magic Mouse to it, and I mean, literally, there are days where I can go mobile and I don't have to take a laptop. Like, I can sufficiently work from an iPad Air, you know, and have my mouse and everything. Like, on days where I'm not doing anything heavy, like maybe I'm just sending emails and you know, writing, you know, content or whatever. So yeah, all that to say, you're going to love it. I recommend it.
Awesome. Well, is it actually like a true Air device too? Like, is it thinner and lighter than the mainstream iPad, or is it just a marketing ploy?
Well, you know what? To be honest with you, I haven't really been able to compare it to – the only one I've been able to compare it was the iPad Air 2 that I had. So right. I haven't really been able to compare it yet, so I'm not completely sure. Now, I will tell you this. I also have the iPhone 12 mini, side by side, the iPad Air is thinner than the iPhone 12 mini. So it is very thin.
That's one of the things I love the most. What drove me, so I forget what iDevice I had before this. I want to say I had an iPad 3, I think.
I remember you having an iPad 3. It was the last one with the 30 pin, right?
Right. I believe I had an iPad 3. It may have been, no, iPad 4 was basically an iPad 3 with Lightning on it, right?
Yeah. Right. Another moment in Apple's product release history. I said, why?
Did they not release that like only 6 months after the 3?
Yeah.
Like that? It was a crazy cycle. It's like, what in the world are y'all doing?
It was odd.
Yeah, I believe I had a 3. I believe that's what I had. And then I waited a while because I was like, okay, there's no reason to buy a 4 unless you just don't want to have multiple cables. So I just didn't feel this need to get a 4. And then if you remember, the Air 1 had like some weird issues, and like the screen was actually not as good as a 3 and 4s. Mm-hmm. Like, they compromised on some stats to get the thinness. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't know. I'd rather have a little bit thicker and a nicer screen. Well, then when the Air 2 came out and they had that integrated glass and LCD, and they put in that, I think this was their first is this OLED or is it?
I don't think it's OLED. I don't know. And honestly, when it comes to screen specs, that's where I get a little bit lost.
Right. I know it's brighter though than a 3 and 4. Like, it was significantly better technology than 3 or 4. And when I held one for the first time, how thin it was, I was like, oh, I was in love. Because to me, that's a tablet now. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it should be ultra thin. So that's one reason why I kind of want to get an Air. And I just don't want to spend them. I got that Pro. So I'll talk about that for a second, like the large format. Okay, so great. The processor and iPad Pros are enough to render 4K video. When in the world am I going to want to edit a full production on a 13-inch screen? Mm-hmm. I want to talk about things at one at a time, but so I won't get into the stats of what laptop I'm using in the moment yet. But even my laptop screen, it's like, that's not big enough. Like, if I'm doing real, I'm going to sit down and do serious editing work. Now, today when we get off, I'm going to, just because I have to be mobile, and that's why I love laptops and why my primary device is a laptop. But I have like a, have you ever seen those book arcs? It's like an aluminum bent pad. Yep. I have a book arc. I just drop my iPad in there, plug my USB-C in, and then I got two LG 27-inch 4K 98 color gamut.
Yeah,
as much money on my
That's nice.
And on their computers.
That makes me feel out of date because I'm still using 1080 for my screen.
Oh, so you're at the Stone Age, my friend.
I know.
Or you're poor, one of the two.
Well, yeah. You know, I did have – I had a couple 4K screens for a while there. I do the same thing. I plug in whenever I want to do something, and I got two screens I have, and they're different. So it does kind of bother me. But here I have, the one I'm looking at now, that's just a 27 inch Dell 1080. And then I do have one of the Thunderbolt displays over here. Which I mean, Apple stopped making those a long time ago, but those are a good display. So,
they are, I think they're a little overrated for the cost. Like the cost me. It's like there's nothing about, I mean, since we're talking Apple, like if there's an Apple product I would highly unrecommend, it's their screens, because what you're getting for the money you're spending, it's just not, I guess they're new. What do they call that new one that came out with the Mac Pros?
I was going to say, they took the concept of an overpriced screen and they said, let's go 10X. I mean,
so if you actually, though, there is an argument for it. So the problem is Apple is starting to break back into these markets that they had lost when they kind of abandoned a scalable Mac Pro machine.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to take the ultra high end, like the Lucasfilm type companies, and make them fall back in love. They're so the only monitor that actually compares to that monitor is Sony makes it. I forget model numbers and everything, but it's made by Sony, and they run about $10,000 a piece.
Yeah.
So when you compare it to that, it's actually significantly cheaper. So
yeah,
it's just Apple wasn't clear about that. Like the reveal of a product like that should not have been on their main stage where they have average people like us watching. So when we're watching, we're now like, what in the world is happening with Apple? When Apple behind the scenes is most likely saying, no, we're not talking to you right now. We're talking to guys who are making $1 million, $1 billion movies. And they absolutely need this technology for their workflow. That's who we're talking to right now. Those guys who used to exclusively work for us, and then we abandoned them because we lost our vision of what we do on this end.
Yeah.
You know, so I appreciate it, but they should never have rolled it out the way they did. You know how they do like these silent rollouts, where they just have like a press release they do? Yeah. That's what they should have done for this. And they should have had a marketing campaign directed right at movie studios, at 3D studios, you know, directly at Disney. I mean, for Pete's sakes, half of their board members are Disney board members as well. Like,
come on.
You know, there's a way they could have rolled that device out properly and not have made themselves look like they're abandoning the average man.
Yeah, no, that's a fair argument because, there was a time there where, man, I even remember when there were rumors because the MacBooks, what they were doing with the MacBooks was so weak sauce, you know? And there were rumors that they were going to abandon, that they were just going to abandon their MacBooks and computers. So that's fair because the pros for sure. Do you remember the trash can Mac Pro? Powerful machine, but it's kind of a joke.
It is.
And
they lost themselves for a little while.
Yeah. So that's fair. I get that. Now the only thing, I actually pulled up to the website because I just wanted to see. Yeah. I mean, it's $4,599.
Right, yeah, it is.
Or $5,599 if you want the nano texture glass. Here's what gets me. Why can't you just include the stand? Why do I have to pay an extra $900 for a stand?
That is a legitimate criticism.
It's already a $5,000+ thing. So, just add it into the cost and put a stand on it.
as an Apple fanboy, I have some major complaining to do. What is this nonsense that we're not going to include power bricks with the phones anymore? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. That is.
And you're going to make me pay more money? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to pay you more money. And you're going to give me less stuff.
Yeah.
Like I got a little bit of a problem here.
Mm-hmm. Now that
am
that,
I out of line thinking that way?
No, you're, because I thought the same thing, and then but here's what's humorous to me is how they say, you know what, no, we're gonna pin it on the back of like environmentally friendly initiatives. And it's like, no, just be honest. You're going to save. Think of all the money that they're going to save, because, I mean, it's a small expense for the user to go out and buy a $30 power brick. But for them, hey, they're saving that. So it's like,
okay, but wait a second.
Be honest. Pause.
Okay. So you want to say that it's a small expense for us, though. But okay. So I just bought a $1,000 phone. And then if I want the official charger, I got to spend $30.
Yeah. No, I get you. No, I'm saying, but they are saying, oh, well, they're in their mind, they're saying, oh, well, we're going to put that small expense on the consumer. But it's like on a macro level, they are saving so much money.
Oh, yeah.
Profit margin just went up. And yeah, I read some things where they're like, well, the iPhone 12s include something. There was something they were trying to blame it on because some internal thing. And it's like, no, don't give me that. You're Apple. You're the first company to pass $1 trillion market cap. Don't give me this, that you, anyways. So right. Yeah, that is, oh, here's something that's even more disturbing. So I do love MagSafe on the new iPhones. I think that's super cool. The back has the MagSafe and all that. I like how they just reused that name. They were like, oh man, we don't have to fool the trademarks or anything. So we'll just, we got rid of MagSafe on the Mac. Anyways, here's what's great. I got one. It doesn't come with a brick. The charger itself doesn't come with a brick.
I don't understand it.
And it's all, and that's, but that's, and here's the other thing. The other big, if they had done that and they had given you just the regular USB, okay, like I can follow your logic a little bit more, but it's like, no, it's USB-C. All of the phones,
So I've not upgraded my phone yet. I'll get to my phones in a second. we're still talking about iPads here.
Technically, yeah.
Did you see that little catch there? My AirPod just fell out.
That was smooth. I was just going to let it be, but yeah, that was good.
I had to comment on it. So do the new phones, do they ship with a USB-C to USB-C cable?
It's USB-C to Lightning. So the...
That's incredibly stupid to me. And then they're not going to give you... Literally, when I buy my new phone, since I've not bought a new iPad yet, I'm going to go buy a power brick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is so dumb.
Yeah. So that was okay.
At least, I guess, since it's still Lightning, I technically can use my old power cord and brick. But typically when you sell your old phone, isn't it like, it's like the gentleman's agreement. You pass the cable and the brick that came with that phone onto the next owner, right?
Are we just going to stop that now? I never do that. So for me, whenever I sell it,
maybe Apple said, well, Luke Clayton doesn't do that. If he's going to keep his brick, then we don't need to get bricks out of
it. I'm over here dogging on Apple, and that's what I've been doing for years. So whenever I get a new phone, I sell it, and I always put it in very fine print on eBay, no charger brick included. But I ship it in the original box.
Where Apple got the idea from. All these guys selling their phones, like, wait, they can get away selling used phones without bricks.
Yeah.
We can sell new phones without bricks.
Exactly. Well, and like I said, it would have made a little bit more sense if they would have included the just regular USB end and not USB-C, because you're right. Not no one, but very few people actually have the USB-C brick. Right. And so
now a good thing with USB-C, if you have any USB-C, because so are you familiar with how like the power technology works?
No, not USB-C? Really.
So the USB Foundation, when they set up USB-C, they create a new power protocol called PD, I think is what it is the abbreviation. I don't know what the words are, but I think it's called the PD protocol. So what it is there's like four voltages that USB-C can control and regulate. So all USB-C devices are built within one of those power specs. So even if it's a big old 90-watt Apple 15-inch Pro charger, you can safely take your USB-C iPhone or iPad and plug into that, because it's just going to power regulate to output what it needs for that device. The device chooses what the charger sends.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So as long as you have one USB-C device in your house, except for Nintendo Switches, we won't get onto that, but Nintendo Switch does not use the PD protocol, which makes zero sense, but we're not talking about Nintendo right now. So don't plug your laptop into a Nintendo brick is what I'm saying. And don't plug your Switch into your Apple brick. It will be a bad day. Don't do that. So you were talking about my state of Mac. Let me, since we're kind of going all over the place with this with this conversation, I'll just go through all the stuff I have currently. So the past couple generations of Apple phones have not impressed me. It's not good enough. It's like, oh, great. So you made it bezel-less. Oh, great. You took my I watched, Rachel has an 11 Pro Max, and I watched the Face ID stuff, and I'm like, this is, every time I use her phone, I'm like, I hate myself right now. Like, I just, why did we have to get rid of, like, could you not have been creative like Android and like put the touch button on the back or something? Like,
well, hey,
or even integrate it into the power button? Like, Samsung does that.
That's another reason you're going to love the iPad Air, because they have the Touch ID built into the power button. It's amazing.
Thank you, Apple.
It's amazing. And they didn't include it on the iPhone 12, and I'm a little upset about that.
That's so dumb. So that's why I am actually still, this is a dinosaur, I'm on an 8 Plus.
No way.
I get it to.
No, I that's,
there you go. Yep. My 8.
That's a shocker.
My 8 Plus. Now, I will say I am ready for a new device. It's starting to act weird. Man. Like when I text, I will like fully type out a text and be done. And then all of a sudden it will go on the screen. It literally hits 20% battery most days at 5 p.m., which for me, 20% battery means it's about to die.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so, bad. Yeah. And then, of course, Apple makes their devices non-serviceable, so it's not like I could just put a new battery in it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, I could, but it would be very difficult.
Yeah.
And I'm going to order some China part and hope that it's the actual part. It's not going to blow up my phone.
Exactly.
So... it's just that, honestly, if they, I get why they do it. It's good business for them, because if I could just take the back off, I would just buy an officially licensed battery for it, and I probably wouldn't even get a new phone. Like, that's my number one issue I have. Besides, it's starting to get slow. Like I said, with the text messaging, it doesn't like to, once, if I type in, normally what I do, I'll type in like two words and I'll wait. And once it fills those in, it will start letting me type in there. It's like it needs to know, oh, he wants to type. And then it will let me do it.
Yeah.
So if you just exercise like not even 5 seconds of patience, you don't really notice the speed that much.
Gotcha.
It's just the battery that mm-hmm. really gets me. And honestly, the way LiPo technology works, I imagine I could probably get a battery that fits in here that's even more milliamp hours now.
Yeah, yeah.
So because of the increase in the technology, so mm-hmm. I could actually make it keep up with the current operating system and its power usage, keep up with it and have original battery life still on a newer operating system. So I get why they do it. It's just I miss the days when a company was like, we want you to love your product, so we're going to make it so you can put a new battery in it if you need to.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, that is something about Apple nowadays. I mean, basically all of their stuff, at least on the consumer level, it's unrepairable for the most part.
Right. Oh, have you seen any of the videos with the iPhone 12, what they've done?
I saw a teardown on it.
To me.
Yeah.
So, okay. So I watched a guy, he did a teardown, of course. But he bought two just to prove this. He had read it somewhere from iFixit or somebody, but he's like, no, for sure not. So he wanted to prove it. So he out of his own pockets, he bought two iPhone 12 Pros. Okay. So he spent some change for us all so he could show us his little experiment.
Yeah.
He went through the agony of opening it. I mean, it is a nightmare to open an iPhone 12.
Mm-hmm.
Now, part of that, in Apple's defense, is for the water rating. It's one of the
most waterproof phones
ever made. You could
almost like that.
Scuba diving with the thing, you know, so, and that's where a lot of that sealing is taking place. They're gluing it together so much to keep it that waterproof. So there's a lot of consumers don't understand that. People want to criticize how hard it is to open. It's like, well, you can't have your cake and eat it too. It's either a waterproof device or it's not a waterproof device. And a device that can easily open is not going to be very well waterproof.
Yeah, exactly. So that's, I do get that.
Right. So we went through all the agony of opening them both to service it, and this is all he did. No aftermarket parts, no Alibaba, AliExpress, nothing like that. He took the screen off the one, put it on the other, and the screen on the other, and put it on the first one.
Okay.
And then booted them up. Apple is now, this blows my mind. Apple is now serializing the parts to the main board and to the OS installation.
Oh, wow.
It is all serialized together. So as soon as he turned the phones on, they knew it was not my screen. And then it's so locked out, it doesn't even have the ability to ask it, well, what are you? It just knows it's not my screen, so it assumes it is a fake aftermarket part.
Goodness, man. So, wow.
And on something just as small as the screen, it refused to use microphones. It refused to use the camera. Calling was a nightmare. It wouldn't let him make phone calls easily. They would drop and all this crazy stuff started happening on the devices because it was doing everything it could to reject this screen that's been plugged into it now. They have effectively made it impossible to service the device unless you take it to them.
Yeah. Well, that I remember the first, I bought the MacBook. This is when they really, of course, I guess with the iPhones, it's always been a difficult repair to some extent, you know, and it's little, it's intricate, you know, whatever. I've never been good with hardware, so it's something that I just can't do, you know, but I remember the first time it was a significant difference on the Mac was the MacBook with Retina display that they came out with, the first one with the Retina display. And I remember when I bought one at Best Buy, and the guy told me, he said, look, man, I'm not just trying to upsell you on Geek Squad, but you really need to buy the warranty, because if anything happens to this, we cannot repair it and the warranty will allow us to replace it. Even the RAM, that was the first time even the RAM was soldered onto the board. And so you couldn't even upgrade your RAM. First laptop you can't upgrade RAM in, which used to be, that is the one thing that I used to be able to do. I used to do the laptop before that, the MacBook before that, I bought the lowest end RAM and then I just, you know, bought on Crucial. You showed me Crucial. Crucial.com.
Right. Yeah,
Yeah. And I bought RAM, the Max, and I upgraded it, you know, but now that's, you know, definitely that's been long gone. I mean, been years.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
That's not possible. And so, yeah, we are definitely that's I didn't know that, though, about the making the parts. I mean, literally just like unique to the phone. That's insane.
It's insane. It's insane.
I mean, the average person doesn't care, I suppose. But yeah.
Okay, before we continue down these rabbit holes too, so I currently only have like three Apple products in my personal workflow. So I have my iPad, of course, I have my iPhone, of course. So then there's my MacBook. So this was something I was very, very torn on doing. I have always in work used my primary device as a desktop. Mm-hmm. I am a power user in every sense of that word, from the network administrating side of being a power user, which you really don't need much of a machine for that. It just power user in that sense just means I know how to make this thing do stuff, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. But, you know, from the graphic design to, you know, 4K workflows, you know, in video editing, like I'm a extreme power user. I need power. So that's why I've always have used a desktop. You know, coming into 2019, you know, things have changed so much in processors and the capabilities that you have. And I just was looking at doing a desktop and what I wanted to do on it and the amount of money I would be forced to spend. Even if I almost left Mac.
Wow.
Because I could still get more bang for my buck, but I was going to spend so much money on a machine that just sits there.
Yep. Yep.
And for the first time, I'm at a place where they understand the importance of what I do and how literally the dollars correspond to my level of productivity.
Mm-hmm.
Like at the very least, they trust me that I understand it at the very least. So I was given quite the budget to be able to spend on what I want. So I'm like, I'm tired of if I'm having a bad day and my day didn't turn out the way I want to and it's 5 o'clock, I'm still in the middle of an edit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And all the rest of my life, it's like, well, I guess I'm calling home and I'm not coming home till 8 again tonight. You know, that's how it's always been. Mm-hmm. I'm tired of that. Mm-hmm. I got tired of that. So I started looking at like Dell mobile workstations, which are ultra powerful. And then Lenovo has some really, really nice mobile workstations. Started looking at those. And the money was right there. But I thought, well, let's give Apple a chance. So I really started looking at what is in the 2019 MacBook Pro. Mm-hmm. And I was honestly very, very surprised at what Apple, this is probably the first device in a long time that I will say Apple gives you what you pay for. Cool. So the way my machine's configured, I'll tell you my configuration. I'm going to give you some major machine envy here in a minute. The way mine's configured, to buy a Dell or Lenovo equivalent, you would only spend $150 less.
Okay.
That's what made me stay with Apple, because I'm like, okay, yeah, the aluminum body alone is enough to sell me on staying for the hundred. Like, there's the $150.
Mac you know? OS alone is enough to keep me. You know, I mean,
right, for $150. You know,
yeah,
like,
yeah, it, exactly.
Up till 2019, the difference was staggering. It was like $500 difference.
Yeah.
It's like, why put that? Spend the same amount of money, but put that into even more stats on the other device.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like mm-hmm. it just didn't make sense. And one reason why I've waited so long, I was literally, when I came here, they put me on I came here in 2017, and they put me on a 2013 iMac.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
it's like just way too deprecated for what the type of work I'm doing. So, I talked them into the budget, and then I went and built. So my machine is a 15 inch 2019. I have a, let's see, how many cores is it? Yes, I thought it was this. I have an 8-core Core i9 in it, wow, running at 2.3 gigahertz per core. I have 32 gigs of DDR4 RAM in this machine. And I have a 1 terabyte SSD. Well, I shouldn't say that. I have a 1 terabyte NVMe drive in it. So mm-hmm. I have a drive that runs at 12,800 megabits per second running in this thing. And then I also have, I had enough money in the budget. I fully upgraded the graphics to the highest level that Apple will let you. I have a Radeon Pro Vega 20 with 4 gigs of dedicated video RAM.
Oh, nice.
All crammed into this half inch or less thick machine.
Wow. Okay. So for those of you out there that are like, what does all that mean? That means that Mr. Turner here has probably the most, if not, or one of the most, if not the most portable beast of a computer that you can get. That's insane. That's awesome.
It literally, the only thing you could upgrade, like when I was clicking the drop downs and like add. So I called my education rep to order to them. He's like, mm-hmm. yeah, you might as well just go on the website and build it out and then send it to me, because I should say my education rep at our local store. He's gotcha. Like, you yeah. don't sell those in store.
yeah, yeah.
So
which I know about Apple. A lot of the high-end stuff you can't buy at their retail stores. They don't carry them there.
No, yeah. you can't. You can't. So literally the only drop-down that was available to increase was the storage, which I really wanted to, since once again, even with their storage, let alone the RAM, that is permanently soldered. So yes, it's NVMe yeah. storage, but there is no M.2 port on it.
Mm-hmm.
Which, for those of you who don't know, it's there's for ultra high speed flash storage on computers, there's like this little tiny port inside of it that you can kind of snap the device into. On a Mac, they remove that in to make it thinner.
Yeah. Hey, right. Side note, remember back in the day when they included, you know, the optical drives, the disk drives in them? Oh, And well, you can hear me. I can't hear you again. My computer did that wonderful. No, actually, it came back. It came back super fast.
Hey,
anyways, there it is. Anyways, you know, back when they included the disk drive, when you could take that disk drive out and put it in an extra hard drive.
Right?
Yeah, man. Those days. Those days are long gone.
I remember those days.
Of course.
So that was another. Yeah, so their storage is just so stinking expensive. It's always been way overpriced. The only reason why I got a terabyte is I know, like, especially since I'm in 4K workflows, I still an external Thunderbolt 3 NVMe enclosure is still very expensive. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, eventually I'm going to need one of those, because as I move into a true full 4K workflow, as I move closer to that, one terabyte is just not going to suffice. But not because of Thunderbolt 3, though. I can just, you know, Thunderbolt 3 is faster than what NVMe is right now, so it doesn't matter, you know, like I can literally have external storage that's faster than my internal storage.
I mean the biggest thing that'll slow down your external storage is if you don't get it solid state, but if you can get solid state external storage,
what I'm saying, even beyond solid state, like I have yet to up my external I might actually have it here. My bag's right here. Hey, this is gonna be a flash from the past. I must have taken it out. It's in the back. Huh. You're gonna remember this device. This is still my primary external.
Dude, the Lacy. Wow.
Yeah, this is still my primary external. So it is only Thunderbolt 2 on it and USB 3. Wow. But yeah, only Thunderbolt 2 on there. The reason why I've not upgraded this yet is I use this just for keeping for some of my personal work. This is just my storage device for my personal work. But I more use this, like, if I need to take some extra files with me that I don't have the room on my computer for, I use it just for that. I don't work off of it. I never work off of it. Anything that's on it, like a project file or whatever, I'll move to the computer first. This will be upgraded probably here in 2021. I'm just waiting for Thunderbolt 3 NVMe. So kind of a difference there with NVMe versus standard solid state storage. Standard solid state storage runs on the same technology that hard drives used to run on.
Yeah, okay.
So yes, the storage itself, the chips are faster than a magnetic drive, but you're still limited by the magnetic drive bus.
Okay.
So with these new special buses made for flash storage, it's significantly faster even than that. So like I wouldn't, in my workflow, like what I'm talking about, a solid state drive doesn't even suffice. It would not be fast enough. I have to have NVMe storage.
I see. Okay. Yeah.
Which those enclosures, the enclosure alone is several hundred dollars even without a drive in it. You can easily drop $1,200 on a full NVMe external setup.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So that's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for that to cost come down. And when it does, then this will finally be replaced with something actually smaller than it that will be significantly faster and more storage. So nice. That's kind of my mobile slash work life setup. I also have at work, which I can access from anywhere in the world. I have a Synology network attached storage. It's basically a server. And I just upgraded. I think I now have 32 terabytes of storage on that, which once again, like Photoshop files and stuff. Yeah. I'll work from it. Mm-hmm. For Photoshop files, our network, our IT is excellent. That's one thing I love about this church is every church I've been at, I basically have to do the IT or I am the IT guy there. Here, it's just a bonus that I know IT. Like we actually have a company, it's not even a full-time staff member. We have a company that we contract with on retainer that does our IT. So our network is ultra fast.
I want to pause right there. Is that, in your experience, is that a better approach than having someone in-house?
It can go both ways.
Thanks again for joining us for this episode, and don't forget to subscribe. You can check the show notes and video description to learn more about products and services from Church Media HQ, as well as details about our guests and content contributors. Speaking of the content, if you find it helpful, please take a moment to leave us a 5-star review and share this episode with other church leaders like you. Also, be sure to check out our newest show, Connection Culture. This is available on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Church Media HQ is a production of the Must Increase Network. The show is edited and produced by Bo Snyder. The creator and executive producer is myself, Luke Clayton. And until next time, I want to remind you to try something new. Why? You know why. Because it's so much better to fail at trying the incredible than it is to succeed at simply doing the average. We'll see you next time right here on Church Media HQ.